Welcome to the End-to-End Value Chain podcast series. In this series, we discuss industry insights and best practices from experts invested in finding solutions that benefit the entire value chain. My name is Sarah Menigo, Communications Officer at the Consumer Goods Forum, and today I have the pleasure of welcoming Miriam Molino Sanchez, Head of Industry Practices at Stibo Systems. And we will be discussing why customers buy from us and how to leverage technology to drive conversion. Welcome, Miriam. It is a great pleasure to have you with us today, and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for your welcome, and it's great for me to be here with you today.
So let us dive right in. With the first question, conquering the digital shelf and proven profitability in the online business has proven to be a complex topic. Why are online sales conversion rates lower and harder to maintain compared to bricks and mortar stores?
Great question, Sarah. So let me start by identifying the three key elements that condition online profitability. First one is traffic. Traffic, and we can approach traffic from an acquisition or a loyalty perspective. The second one is conversion, which was the topic of your question. Conversion as the reflection of the experience. And the third one is delivery and return. So I want to focus on conversion, but taking into account that there are these other two elements in that condition online profitability. So why are conversion rates so low compared to physical stores? That's a great question, and it has a difficult answer, but let me give you some data. First is when we talked about good or healthy conversion rates online, we talked about 2% and 5%, which can be seen as low rates. When we talked about those that are really performing well, so the top 25% of best performance, they have a conversion rate that goes between 5% or a little bit higher than 6%. So those that perform really well, they have reasonably low conversion rates. If we compare online conversion rates to physical conversion rates, the difference is enormous. So in the brick and mortar space, we can be talking about 20 to 40% conversion rates. So there's a huge difference. And it's difficult to define in an objective way how to ensure good conversion. And I'd say this is due to a curious phenomenon that happens in the online world. And we can call it ascendant expectations, which basically is every good experience or every experience that we feel as customers that is a good one automatically sets the bar for the following one. And I was saying that this doesn't happen in the physical world because in the physical world, we understand there are contextual differences. So for example, if I visit a premium luxury boutique in a high-end street of a big city, my expectations, natural expectations, are completely different than the ones I may have when I visit an apparel store at a small village or a small city. And that's natural. I do not think about it. But in internet, the space, the street, the location is the same for everyone. So I expect the same type of experience when I get every brand I visit or every retailer that I buy from. So when I get a really good one in terms of product information, images visualization, supporting videos, ingredient listing, whatever, I automatically assume that this is the factor model. And my bar for expectations is automatically elevated. And that, of course, impacts conversion, because when I don't get the same good one, I don't feel satisfied. Of course, this varies per product category. And if we look at the average conversion rates, these are very different. If we talked about personal care products, or if we talked about food and beverage, but the structural phenomenon, it's the same for every category. So that's why it's so difficult, because the bar, the expectations that we have in terms of what is a good experience is always moving higher, higher, and higher.
So let's delve deeper into these lower conversion rates. What key complaints do customers have?
It's curious, because when we ask customers how satisfied you feel with your online experience, we may tend to think that they are reasonably satisfied. But when we go at, and get the numbers, and the numbers that I will be using today, they are based on a survey that went to more than 20,000 customers all over the world. The type of complaints that they have are pretty basic. So if you ask them what are your two key reasons for not feeling satisfied with your online experiences, they mention not being able or having challenges finding the products that I wanna buy as the first one, and not having enough information about these products as the second one. So product findability and product discoverability are the key two reasons for customers not having a successful experience online. And on average, 30% of products across online channels suffer from low findability. And that is critical when you move to extended type of assortments, when you have a lot of options. And if you don't have good product findability capabilities, you may cause your customers that they are not able to choose. So I have too many options. I don't have clarity on the differences. I don't have clarity. So we start suffering a kind of decision paralysis when we are offered too many options without the ability to doing a proper findability, a proper discoverability. On average, let me give you some other data. On average, 40% of products suffer from missing information or contain inaccurate product information. Customers also sense that expected content is missing from the online websites. And content error or missing expected content that generates lack of trust. Let me give you an example. For certain product categories and certain customer segments, sustainability information is a key element that is increasingly valuable for those customers. And when they ask what type of information they need in order to feel comfortable and have trust on the brands, they say, I want to know about the ingredients or the materials, if they're safe or not safe, what kind of natural ingredients or materials they're using, what is the use of recycled materials. So it's not only that we need to ensure that the content is right, is that we need to ensure that customers are finding the information that they need. If we were able to provide more accurate, more complete, and more consistent product information, we could increase conversion rates from up to 56%, which is a huge, is incredibly relevant. And the impact this increase could have on P&L for online channels, it's really, really relevant. So the connection between content and conversion is absolutely essential. But online content is not isolated from context. And that comes another difficult aspect to address, which is the localization aspect. And when we talked about localization, we mean the language, the expressions, the way product is explained, the way recipes are explained, or the usage of the product, or all these things that are associated to a specific market, a specific area, specific localization. And another angle of the content is the type of channels. So in 2023, online marketplaces accounted for over one third of global online shopping orders. When I talk about marketplaces, you can think of the Amazon, the Alibaba, the JD, what all these type of huge marketplaces. And as I said, they account for over one third versus what we call own channels. And where you play in those marketplaces, you need to stand out. You need to call for attention. And attention can be translated into content. Let me give you a visual example. When you visit the Grand Bazaar in Istanbul, which is one of the largest markets in the world that receives around between 90 million and over 100 million visitors annually. So the traffic is there. But when you go there, when you go to Grand Bazaar, you see all these different people selling merchandise, yelling at you, shouting at you, looking for attention. So when you sell in these online marketplaces, you need to stand out. You need to call the attention. And you can only do that by having great, enhanced, and extended content. So making it short, key complaints that customers have are product findability, product discoverability, and content is key to support these two angles.
Very interesting. Let's discuss product content as a differentiator. What are the different elements of content to consider?
Let me start the answer in a kind of different way. So I totally understand that when we define as a brand or as a retailer our aspirations, we want to ensure hyper-personalization. That I get that. That is absolutely valid, because when we're serving customers and we as the customers, we expect the brands that we do business with or the retailers that we buy from, we expect them to know us. And the more I feel that they know me, the higher chances that I will increase my frequency or my basket size. But before getting there, there are some basic aspects that need to be absolutely fulfilled. We talked before about product findability and product discoverability. So having the right product data models in place, the right attribution model, can allow brands and retailers and companies to ensure that the product can be searched and found in an easy way. Having a comprehensive product information can allow proper discovery from customers. And there's a new component that I want to also highlight here is the experimentation angle. So as we evolved in online sales, the way customers want to interact evolves too. So now we are looking for a kind of experimentation in our journey, shopping journey, I mean. And now it's about a non-linear, non-repetitive shopping journeys with different interactions. But if brands are able to provide consumers with the right level of experimentation, they will prevent them to go to the competitors. And we need to understand that in the online world, every competitor is just one click distance. So how can brands provide their experimentation? It's also around content. It's providing different pieces of content that allow customer to understand and do their own discovery but also provide them with information so that they can create, I don't know, if we talked about food and beverage, create recipes. If we talked about apparel, create looks. So no matter what type of product, if you give them information to allow them to add a little bit of creativity, that is magic when it comes to engagement and interaction. Of course, that implies that brands need to have clarity on how the customers discover their product, what kind of data they appreciate, what is the balance between immediate conversion and research so that they could build their own purchase decision. And once you have clarity on those aspects, you need to be very agile in terms of processes and tools so that you can readapt your content structures, template, components, pieces, so that you can respond in an agile way to the evolving expectations that will be happening every day.
And what role do emerging technologies such as AI and AR play in improving conversion rates?
Oh, AI has got a role, of course. Now I will use two examples of the two different angles in which you can apply AI to ensure that you are better in and you have better conversion rates. The first one is about scaling content creation. So this one is about AI generated content. As I said before, the connection between content and conversion is absolutely clear. So content directly influences findability and discoverability. But of course, this appetite for content puts enormous pressure on content supply chains and solutions, as every website, every app, every page, every marketplace listing, everything needs its dose of content. And here's where generative AI can make a difference. And brands are testing it and adopting it, looking to dramatically reduce production times and generate differentiated content across all channels. But at the same time, given that AI is a tremendously powerful tool, it needs a vehicle to channel its potential and embed it in it the appropriate governance that is required. I heard a nice analogy some time ago in an event around AI, and I'm going to use it. I'm stating that it's not mine, but I don't know if you remember, but there was a wheel tires advertisement many years ago from Pirelli, and they said power is nothing without control. It's exactly the same with AI. AI needs accurate quality source data, strong governance framework, and the adequate component of human in the loop. So when you strike the right balance between autonomy and human supervision, that is crucial to successfully adopt AI. And that applies perfectly to the AI generated content aspect that I was talking about. The second example is about experience, is how you can use AI online to provide the same experience that we as customers have at stores. So if I go to a physical store, I can reach out to any store assistant and ask, so I don't know, whatever. So this weekend I am preparing surprise romantic dinner for my husband. What would be your recommendation? Or I'm going with friends to an excursion. What things would you recommend me to buy in terms of, equipment? I can do those type of search. In online, it's very difficult. So you need to do search in a different way. And that's why finding the right products is so difficult. So brands are testing AI so that AI can address the same type of searches, and you can talk with AI and ask the same questions as if you were interacting with a human. And the impact in terms of satisfaction and conversion can be huge. That's why brands are exploring this type of AI potential opportunities.
So am I correct in saying, to sum it up, that the best way or the best approach to high conversion rate is understanding the consumer behavior and their needs and adapting the content and how they navigate in the environment, whether it's online or bricks and mortar, to speak to their needs and content that's relevant to them in localization and what they look for in product offering and so on, with the support of AI to personalize it during their interaction and their journey towards purchase decision, to drive this trust from the consumer, because they find what they look for and they get all the information through like engagement, and thus as a result drives to conversion and return purchase, I guess, within the online environment.
I think that's a perfect summary. So thank you for this.
Well, thank you so much. I think this brings us to the end of our conversation. You've really brought a lot of insights, and really appreciate for sharing your expertise on this topic, Miriam. It's been a great pleasure speaking to you. And I look forward to learning more, having further discussions around this topic and understanding our consumer and giving them a better online experience, and as a result, driving greater conversion.
Thank you, Sarah. It's been a great conversation. I really enjoyed that.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to learn more about the Product Data Coalition and the work done at End-to-End Value Chain, please visit us at the Consumer Goods Forum. Thank you, and see you soon.